They're known as some of the original recyclers. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association is a sponsor of the Business News Hour. With members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, delivering ag parts to farmers and ranchers. NTPDA.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business, the News Hour. Grateful that you have clicked through, as you always do, because you want to know more about what in the world is going on in the world of business. And we have with us Debbie Marshall. Full transparency, Debbie Marshall and I have been together in the past, once in our radio studio. And so I have known Debbie and her business, Thrive Consulting, for several years. It is primarily, right now, a career consulting agency, and we're going to be talking about jobs, job openings, prerequisites for what folks are thinking about during COVID-19. Debbie, welcome to the Business News Hour. Nice to have you back.
Thanks for having me back, Mike. I really appreciate it.
Let's talk a little bit about what you're learning. I mean, you started out being a career coach and these things, and this is morphed. I believe we talked off mic that this is morphed over the past couple of years into really career consulting, helping people find their right niche. Would that be accurate?
Yes, I did other types of consulting when I started my business. I did HR consulting, and I think we've talked about that on your show, and I've done business consulting. But the real need for the last year and a half or so has been just for the career consulting. My client is in the job market, or they're thinking about getting into the job market. So I'm not a recruiter. I don't place them. What I do is I prepare them for the search, and I give them strategies and tips and tools and support along the way to have a successful search.
And that, I would suspect, takes a little time, because everything has been upended in the past 7 months. While the unemployment rate has gone down, the job participation rate has stayed pretty steady. And depending on where you are in the ethnic group, your unemployment numbers continue to be extremely high. What are the frustrations that you're hearing from your clients?
Well, I'll start with the frustrations that they had before COVID. There are a lot of people in the job market for several reasons. Part of that is that millennials make up the largest population of people that are working, and they're not like their parents and grandparents. They change jobs frequently. I think every 2 to 5 years might be what the reporting is saying. So people that are qualified are moving from one job to another. So, and the boomers are still working, and they are also changing jobs as the result of reorganizations and downsizings. So the sheer volume of people in the job market before COVID was pretty high, and it made it very hard to land an interview and then land a job. Statistics say there were 250 people for every corporate job. That has to be higher now, because now there are people who really had no intention at all of changing jobs who have been furloughed. They're not being called back. So now it's even tighter. So there are even more people for every job. And the frustration is, I'm applying, and I can't land an interview.
Right. And then, so you come into the picture, and I suspect that you assist them. Yeah, because back in the old, I'm an old guy, okay? I'm an old guy that back in the day, we would have HR people that would actually take a look at applications and cover letters. Today, in many instances, people apply to jobs depending on the size of the company that they're applying to. And it's, the job applications are really sourced via AI, artificial intelligence, and if the right words are there, you might get a call. Are you experiencing that? I mean, if people are applying for jobs, is it qualifications? Are the people who are hiring, are they not looking beyond the hard skills and looking at soft skills? What's going on?
Well, you hit on one of the main problems. The applicant tracking software is a big black hole. And even a lot of recruiters don't like it because it takes out the human factor. Yeah. it can't judge aptitude and attitude and passion and things like that. It really is just a list of skills. So the first step is making sure your resume can speak to specific job postings, which makes it a lot of work because you really need to tailor your resume for every job you apply for. And then you apply online. And then it not only has to get through the software, if you're fortunate enough that it lands in the hands of a recruiter, it has to be appealing to them as well. They're very, very busy people. Many of them are overworked, so they don't have a lot of time to screen. So those are the first two big obstacles, is the applying online and then also making it appealing to recruiters.
And so I get the applying online. So if you match your resume with those keywords that are also in the job the job posting, that has a higher probability of getting through the software. But then the human factor comes through, and I would suspect, how do you engage an overworked, extremely busy HR professional?
Well, it's, part of my job is first understanding the software so I know how to set up resumes. The other is knowing what recruiters look for and expect. And that comes from a lot of research, learning, and then also connections with recruiters and just talking to them and saying, what are the what types of resumes, what formats, what are you looking for? How do you scan it? So for me, it's ongoing learning. This is not something that, okay, it's in place today, and then 3 months from now, it's going to be exactly the same. It's basically something that changes frequently. So I stay up on that. And then beyond that, the one thing I really try to stress to people is that applying online is not enough. That is going to be the slowest way for you to get a job. There are numerous other things you need to be doing to get in front of people. And, with COVID, it's not actually in front of people, but connecting with them on LinkedIn, talking to them on the phone, just getting on the radar of the recruiters out there so they know you're around, building professional credibility and social proof on LinkedIn as a professional. So what I provide to my clients that get a package from me is a whole document on multiple things they need to do every day, well, not every day, whenever they're job searching, besides applying online. Applying online is maybe 40% of it. And if they do these things, they get to the finish line a whole lot faster.
Our guest is Debbie Marshall. She is the owner of Thrive Consulting. We're talking about the pitfalls and the hurdles about getting a job, even now during COVID-19. You hit on something I think it's interesting, building a professional look and status on LinkedIn. But there are so many other social media platforms out there. Do you also consult about things like Twitter and Facebook and what folks should be posting and maybe what they shouldn't be posting?
Yes, that is something I hit on. LinkedIn is the professional business network, so that's where they really need to focus their time. However, most people are also on Twitter and Pinterest and TikTok and Facebook and everything. So, I do put in a small section in the educational material that I provide that you really need to clean up your social media pages. You need to go back quite a ways, remove anything that might be controversial or, anything too political, anything too over the top. You want your profiles, all of them, to be somewhat neutral, because I will tell you that recruiters and hiring managers check this out.
Sure.
And they will pass on you if they think you're a little too far out there.
That's absolutely correct. And, I have a very active social media platform and profile all over the place and in several locations. And, I look at, and quite frankly, sometimes I can be a bit controversial, but I do own my own business and I do have that luxury, somewhat anyway, to go ahead and engage individuals, mostly asking questions or making a comment. But you're absolutely right. I would suspect that many people scan those social media platforms to see whether or not an individual has the right stuff to be able to work for them. Are some of your clients, when you go through this for an extended period of time, Have you heard of folks that are just saying, the heck with this, I'm going to just start my own business?
I see that a little bit, not very much. It really depends on where they are in their careers. Yeah. I think a few of them talk about it. I've had a few of them do it, but not very many. Because part of the reason is because it's a lot of work. And when you start a business, you don't usually make money the first few years. So you have to have a really big nest egg to get you by. And, you know, because I have had the conversation with them, well, here are all the things you need to think about before you start a business. And when they start realizing that it's somewhat of a monumental task, they think, oh my gosh, that's a lot of work. I don't know that that's really what I want to do. A lot of times they think they're going to do it as a way to run away from the job search because they're sick of it. But when you open your business, because I do business consulting and I've helped several businesses get started, you have to be running towards something, not away from something. You're running away from something and starting a business that's probably not going to be successful.
That's an excellent point. Run to something, not away from something. Debbie Marshall is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the very tight job market out there that was really a tight big time even before COVID-19. And now with so many individuals out of work and seeking jobs because their one-time furlough job has now become a permanent job loss, it gets really dicey out there. Other than structuring a resume and a cover letter, are there some other tools that you would suggest people do?
LinkedIn is a critical tool.
Right.
Your LinkedIn has to be as good as your resume, and it's not a static tool. You don't fill out your profile and then leave it. It should be worked just like your personal network, you know, when you're seeing people in person.
Yeah, and that's another good point. You know, I've been on LinkedIn. I think I'm an early adopter, so I've been on a lot of these things for a long time. And it always stuns me, the number of people that don't fill out their profile accurately, or it is really difficult for me to understand if somebody's looking for a job that profile on LinkedIn isn't up to snuff. What about other things out there? One of the things that we utilize frequently for our clients as well as Insight on Business is video. Does it hurt to maybe put up, if you do it well, a short 30, 60-second video introducing yourself? Does that ever work?
It's one more way for recruiters to get to know you. And if you can do it well, it could certainly help you. So I encourage them to, you know, some of my clients, depending on their field, if they're in a creative field like graphic design, they also have a personal website.
Sure.
So, you know, a portfolio, so to speak. So, you know, depending on your field, I do think that video and personal websites have a place. I don't think they are for everybody. Honestly, most of my clients are so overwhelmed just by the thought of working LinkedIn, they couldn't possibly think of anything else. Because you have to remember, most of these people, many of my clients are actually still working. They're just job changing. And other ones, you know, they have kids now, they're trying to homeschool them. It's a lot. The job search is a lot to take on by yourself. And so when they think about spending time on LinkedIn, creating content, making connections, you know, it's just a lot for them to absorb.
All right, Debbie Marshall, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. We're spending a lot of time on LinkedIn. And so let's dive a little bit deeper into that, if you will. When you're consulting these individuals who are looking for a job, other than making sure that your profile is there, you mentioned several times you need to work LinkedIn. Does that mean being aggressive with your job search and connecting with people who are then seeking employees?
I recommend that clients do a lot of things, and it's hard to summarize it all, you know, quickly, but one, they need to review their personal network. Who do they know? Friends, neighbors, family members that are working at companies that interest them. Who are the local recruiters? I recommend they connect with most of the local recruiting agencies, connecting with them on LinkedIn or giving them a call and saying, hey, I'm in the job market. I'd really like to just have an initial interview, even if you don't have any jobs for me right now. And then also, if they don't have any connections in the companies they're interested in, I recommend sending cold cover letters, so to speak, to people in that company, people that have jobs that are like the ones they're looking for. They can do informational interviews. And then the other part of that is putting out content so that people see you're knowledgeable and credible and skilled in your industry, joining groups and making comments, answering questions, posting, things like that.
Yeah, I have to share something with you that I did. Oh, gosh, it's been years ago. My bride was seeking a job. And because we have a advertising and marketing agency, I said, you know, why don't we do this as if we were promoting a product, and you being the product. So what we did, just as a tip, and I thought it was pretty interesting. I thought anyway, we created what's called a cowboy card in the political world. It's a small card, but you know, it's larger than a business card. It fits in a number 10 envelope, and it was two sided. And on one side, it had her photograph and a sign that says, "Hi, I want to work for you." And, you know, I just came to the Des Moines area, da-da-da-da-da, and on the reverse side was some of the qualifications that she held. And so we did that, and we printed off, I don't know, 30, 40 of those. And she sent out four, I think, and got a job offer from all four companies. So,
wow.
Yeah. But that's been a long time ago. That was way pre COVID-19. If you market yourself as if you are marketing a product or service, maybe that helps. I don't know.
Oh, it does. It absolutely does. I think you have to look at yourself as a commodity,
yeah,
and you're selling yourself to people that need you. So you have to figure out what they need. And then your dialogue with them needs to be, this is how I can meet that need for you.
Right.
You know, and there are ways to make your resume and bio kind of a combo one-page document that can be used. It's a marketing tool.
Sure.
It's not your full resume, but it's kind of like what you said. It's a snapshot of here's who I am. Because when you go in and you want to connect with recruiters, you don't want to be pushy and say, I want to send you my resume, because a lot of them don't like that. But you can say, here's just a bio doc that tells you a little bit about me. If you'd like to see my resume, let me know. It's a softer approach and it's often more well received. So, and I also recommend using snail mail. You know, if you're trying to get in with a company and nobody will return your connection requests, put something like that in the mail and mail it to them. That will get their attention, because no one does that anymore.
Absolutely correct. You know, we do that all the time. I send out, and I probably send out 8 or 10 handwritten cards with logos and stuff on it for whatever I'm working on to individuals that I want to connect with. And, you know, studies have indicated that if you do that, those personal notes hang around for a long time because, as you just said, Debbie Marshall, nobody does that stuff anymore.
Right, right.
Yeah.
It's a way to stand out. You have to find a way to stand out from everybody else that's, you know, that are all doing the same things.
What about age levels? Are you across the spectrum when you're talking with your clients? I mean, your clients, are they segmented in certain ages, or are they all over the board?
I serve clients in any age group and any job level, but I would say the majority of them are mid-level to C-level clients. So they are probably between 40 and 60.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Is age bias a thing in job searches?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It is. Partly because of age, but also sometimes when you're in an interview or you don't get an interview, they say you're overqualified. It may be ageism, but most of the time they're just saying you cost too much.
Huh. Yeah, it all comes down to the dollars.
Right.
And I understand that. Everybody's trying to maximize their return on investment. When Debbie Marshall, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest, Thrive Consulting, we will have, of course, links to her website up on our radio blog. When it comes to trying to find a job, whatever that job is, Are some people aiming too high? Or should they maybe, you know, I want to be a brain surgeon for crying out loud, but I've never been in an operating room. But so are some people just aiming too high? And would you then recommend that they look at something different?
That is the case sometimes. Sometimes they want a little too much money. Sometimes they want a job they're really not qualified for. Yeah. So if that's the case, then I consult with them and I advise them, trying to get them to consider something different that might be a better fit, that would be a stepping stone to where they want to go. So there is a lot of just coaching and advising in the relationships that I have with my clients. It's not just me giving them these documents. We have an ongoing relationship. I stay with most of my clients until they find a job. So, you know, we do a lot of strategizing together on how to get them where they want to go.
Her name is Debbie Marshall, ladies and gentlemen. She owns a company called Thrive Consulting. She is in the business of helping job seekers find their perfect opportunity to go to work. Good stuff, Debbie. Thank you so very much for doing this. I do appreciate that.
Yeah, you're very welcome. I'm just really happy to help people out there understand the market a little better.
Excellent. Thanks again.
Yep. Thank you.
Once again, that's the voice of Debbie Marshall of Thrive Consulting. She's helping people find jobs that they can apply to successfully. It's all about getting past the screener and making yourself available. And yes, we will have links to Thrive Consulting up on our radio blog. Well, that's a wrap for today's edition. Thanks so very much for joining us. For all of us associated with this daily project, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Hour, is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Debbie Marshall, my name is Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful evening. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.